Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. We're so excited you decided to join us. Before we jump in today, go down, leave a review in iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. We do love those, and they help a ton. They do. That's a free way of kind of helping us out. Another way of helping us out is to help our sponsors. So first of all, Dr. Dish, if you're thinking of getting a team that wants to shoot the ball better and consistently put that round ball into that cylinder, check out Dr. Dish. Mention Coach Unplugged, they'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. If you're looking for a one-stop shop, if you're looking to become a better basketball coach, if you're looking for a mentor, if you're looking to talk to me on a regular basis, right, James? Then you can become a teachhoops.com member, and I'll put you on the bat phone and we'll take care of your specific needs. So come over and check us out at teachhoops.com. Let's head off to the podcast.
So hopefully you had a good week. Hopefully finals are going well. Anyway,
I looked at this question, I really want to centralize it too, because it's a big topic. Looking at statistics within your team and using it to better your season. So we're not looking at opponent statistics. We are looking at our team's statistics. So we're not looking at the other person's statistics.
Right. So
because we could literally probably do 4 or 5 podcasts just on statistics. And
I think that would be a great summer one.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't you think that we could break down some specific things?
Yes.
Because in the off season, it'd be, let's go back and look at your season. Let's go back and look at, you know, we could look at one of mine. We could just grab a season. I don't care. I could change the names. Yeah. So let's talk about statistics.
Statistics do you look at, Coach?
Okay, so let me explain what statistics is. It's collecting, organizing, analyzing, and interpreting data. I've taught statistics for 20 plus years. The high school level, 25 years probably. Anyway, so collecting, a lot of you probably have crossover or huddle. Collect, organize, they do a really good job of organizing, analyzing it, so they put it in all these categories, and then interpreting. The hardest part in the kids that take AP statistics, the hardest part is the last two, okay? Collect and organize is easy. Analyze and interpret are the hard parts. So you can't look at a statistic in a single, there's all sorts of statistics that you will be given. You can't look at them as a singular thing, okay? Because one statistic has strengths and weaknesses. It has advantages and disadvantages. So an example would be if I gave you a list of 10 numbers, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, a billion. And then you took the average of those 10 numbers. That number doesn't really describe the list, right? There were 9 ones and a billion. So you have to look at statistics not only individually, you have to look at them as a whole. And that's a hard thing to do. Because, you know, you look at, oh, God, this kid's effective field goal percentage is 55%, but his turnover percentage is 39%. So there's this cost benefit that you have to look at. There are some generic kind of categories that will give you, you know, like the value point system and all these other things that will plus minus systems where kids are plus minus depending on whether they're on the court. Mm-hmm. They're all great. What I look for is outliers. I look for things that are not normal, and then I ask why. And we were talking before we came on about this one that my son's turnover percentage is really low. And why is it really low at this point? Part of it is because he lives in my house. I hate turnovers. Part of it is kind of he. It's a cost benefit for him. You know, am I going to attack the rim or am I going to get rid of it? Kind of thing. So that's where you got to look at. You know, is the plus minus one statistic I've started to look at is combinations of players on the courts together.
Interesting.
Where, you know, if you have one of the, you know, crossover or huddle or things, they'll look at groupings of five kids and, you know, there's got to be a cutoff of like how many minutes they've been on the court together. But I'm looking for combinations of groups that do well together because, you know, this kid might shoot really well, rebound really well, but he doesn't play really well with his four other teammates. So that's one of the statistics that obviously assist to turnover ratio is a big one for me. I effective field goal percentage is important because I think, you know, we used to only look at field goal percentage, but I think the effective field goal percentage takes that three pointer, which is such an integral part of our game now. So those are big ones for me. You know, obviously I'm looking at, you know, who's rebounding, who's doing it, who's, you know, shot selection, all those kind of things don't necessarily show up in a stat sheet. You know, minutes played, all those kind of things. What do you look at?
I'm going to talk about just some simple things for coaches, just starting to look at statistics. I think one thing you look at is free throws. Are you getting to the line? Key statistic. I look at the amount of defensive rebound percentages that I'm getting compared to the offensive percentages that the other opponent is getting. I think it's huge. The other one that I – let me see here. I said assist turnovers, combination of groups. The other thing that I wrote down too just before is that there is the cost and effect of what you do and what you are as a team as an identity. You know, your turnovers might be really high, but if you're running high-paced basketball and you're running and gunning and you're willing to take over some turnovers, then you have to be willing to – you need to know what statistics are and what the cause and effect of each is. I agree with that 110% as well.
Right, and it's like when my point guard has five turnovers and then my center has five turnovers, they're in a different category, but they're really not in a different category. Does that make sense?
Right, and then the other thing is that – are your statistics, what you're looking at, is it based on what you're going to do to win games? So one year I had a team that wasn't a very good shooting team, and so we really focused on getting the ball inside.
Hey, everybody, I hope you're enjoying the podcast. We really appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to me and the interviews and all that. If you do like these, you know, we've been putting them on for 3 or 4 years. If you like them, we would ask you to subscribe and leave a review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Or just send me an email. I'd love to hear from you, steve@ttubes.com. When you're there, maybe come over and check out ttubes.com for coaches who want to get better. Videos, audio, community, one-on-one calls, office hours. I just got off a call with a ttubes.com member. We broke some film down for him. So go over and check that out, and we really appreciate that. And if you have time, go over and check out High School Hoops and Teacher Side Gig. Those are other podcasts under the Coach Market media conglomerate, I will call it. So go over and check those out. Let's head back to the podcast. Right.
And so we're looking at the shot chart. Are we getting those high percentage shots? And I would constantly show my kids, man, we're 50% here all the time. Then why are we taking all these shots on the outside that are 15 to 20%? I mean, the cause and effect or the cost ratio of what is good for that team that year. So your statistics are going to be constantly changing build based on what your team is as well. I think it's a good point when looking at statistics.
Right. I mean, and the thing is, I think it goes back to what I said. It's like, you know, I think there are some key ones like, you know, you, and again, I like to look at them as a whole, But I also like to look at them, you know, it depends, you know, maybe the kid's coming off an injury. So they're all good. I think the problem is it's the law of large numbers too. You know, if you're only four games in, it's going to be different than if you're 14 games in. You know, kid can go 5 for 5 from 3 and then go, you know, 0 for 22 kind of thing. So it's like you got to get enough of a data set to be able to make some conclusions about this kid can shoot, this kid can't shoot. Or this kid turns the ball over, or this kid dribbles too much, those kind of things. You know, it's almost we have too much noise now, in my opinion, as the stats teacher. It's almost like we're giving a loaded gun to all these coaches, because luckily I'm a stats teacher. I kind of know how the numbers work and how you can kind of manipulate them and how they work. You know, I could convince you my 10th man should be playing more. I could. I mean, if you gave me enough time, I could convince you my 7th man should start and get 6 more shots. If you give me enough time, I'll give you the stats to show you. So there's power in numbers. The problem is we're giving loaded guns to people that don't know how to use the numbers.
I agree too, but I think sometimes team statistics are even more important, like looking at like efficiency.
The combination. So the combination. Of kids,
so like efficiencies of defenses, right? So if you're getting your butt kicked every time you're running a 2-3 zone and you're tracking that, I think that's very beneficial as you move forward with practice. Or that you have, like when I was an assistant, one of my jobs was when the head coach would call a set, I would track if we scored or didn't score. Well, if we run that set all year and we're not scoring on it, then why do we continue to do that?
Right.
So I think that some of those team statistics and efficiencies, I think efficiency stuff is huge when it comes to statistics, because that really helps you plan your next couple of days in practice and what you can do and move forward with your team.
Yep, and if something's not working, I'll tell you right now, we tanked the zone we were doing early in the season because statistically it was doing horrible. Wasn't working. Don't know if the boys didn't believe in it, blah, blah, blah. We got rid of it. It's gone. So,
which is fine. That's good practice.
Right. I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing. I agree. Anything else?
No.
Okay. We got a question this week?
I don't have a question right now.
You don't have one? I caught him off guard. I get to ask the question then. How does it feel not – how does it feel taking a year off and getting off of winter break? From someone that's closer to the end of his career than the beginning of his career, how does it feel?
Feels really different.
Okay.
It's like I find myself being very stir crazy because you're so on the go for so many years of being a high school coach or college coach, and you're just going and going and going, and now you're finding yourself like, man, I think that sometimes I was more efficient when I had chaos in my life because I had to plan more. So
right. I have like my whole day today planned. I can tell you what I'm doing till like 9:30 tonight. To be honest,
I can tell you right now, like when school's starting, my last couple days at home have been more effective than my whole week beforehand because I had no basketball, I had no that.
Right.
And so I don't know. I do find myself missing it. I feel there's times where you have that lull and you miss it, and you go to a game, and sometimes I find myself kind of avoiding it a little bit because I think I don't want to find myself missing it right now.
Right.
So I try to avoid it sometimes, and I don't know. It's been a challenge, but it's been a good challenge. I've been able to spend more time with my family, and I think it's all about that person and what they want to do with their coaching career. I'll make the next choice when I'm ready.
Yeah, and the thing is, here's my thought too is with that is you kind of know when it's time, like me giving up the volleyball job, but also it's like you should have something. Like you had your family, you knew what you were going to, you didn't just quit or stop coaching because it was just to do it because like, I think sometimes these coaches do it and then they just like, they flounder. Like they don't have something. Like I'll probably be doing the podcast when I'm 92 and in, you know, Florida, like, oh, I remember the old days. Old days we used to have, you know, right, there was no four point line when I used to coach.
I think my transition this year has been easy because, you know, I'm still heavily involved with my school and helping out as a sports coordinator and helping other coaches. And
so you still got your hand in it. Like I'm never going to stop. I'll stop coaching, but I won't stop coaching. It's like one of those kind of things. It's like, I, like, I love this game. This game has given me so much. So I just, that it was just, I just wondered how it was like 2 weeks of like, holy crud. I try to do that during winter break. Like I, around Christmas, I shut down. So I've learned that over the years that I literally do nothing. Now the coaches and I will Slack back and forth and we'll send ideas back, but it's 10 minutes of my day. I literally try not to think about it. I try not to talk about it. I try not to, like, I literally have to shut it off for like, and I can usually do that around Christmas because we're not playing, we're not practicing.
Right.
So it's like, you got to come up with these little things for yourself too. But all right, good. Until next week, coach. All right,
thanks.
Bye. Hey everybody. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and like, no matter where you listen, Apple, Spotify, we love those 5-star reviews. Make sure you also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better.
Sports Social Podcast Network.